everybody, and welcome back. It's Nick and Rob, your co-hosts for this week's episode of Geekable Podcast, the geekiest show in this reality, dedicated to hosting passionate people, discussing our excitement for comics, old and new, talking what's hot in the industry, and of course, all things MCU, DCU. If you enjoy this show, please go hit that subscribe or follow button so you don't skip a beat. Now, Rob, lots of stuff. We went from kind of a dry week to just banging news this week. I'm so excited to dive into you with it. We got comic news, MCU news galore. It's a great time to be a fan. It's a great time to be a geek, you know?
Oh, absolutely, man. I got a all the Bloodhunt tie-ins that got released. Oh, yeah. We had the DC Marvel crossovers are being re-released, because I don't know, I think Marvel and DC have surpassed being Marvel versus DC. Now it's like Warner Brothers versus Disney, and Marvel definitely in the past few years, maybe the past 10 years, God, if it's that long, they're very much like, these are my toys, I'm not sharing. Whereas DC are showing up in Mortal Kombat, they're crossing over to Turtles, Godzilla, Power Rangers, you name it, they cross over. But when was the last time Marvel crossed over with anything? I think it was Army of Darkness. Or no, it was that Avengers Attack on Titan thing.
Oh,
there was a free comic
book
day one. They just don't... Like, it to me, it kind of screams a bit of insecurity. It's like, lads, you have your fans, okay? All this is going to do is bring more people in. Maybe someone like me, I don't read DC, but if I see a DC and Marvel crossover, you can bet I'm going to pick that up, you know?
Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, just the fact that they're doing an omnibus with DC, that's crazy for all of DC. And it's the amalgam stuff too. Am I right on the nose there?
From what I remember, it's the amalgam stuff, and Marvel versus DC is one of them. And then there's the crossovers from the 70s. Now there's a couple missing, because there is an Earth designated that Marvel and DC exist together. I think it's Earth 7642, if you really want to get nerdy about it, where like they all know each other, and it kind of, the team ups they've had. Yeah. It's just easier that, like, oh, hey, Batman, you're in Gotham. Oh, hey, yeah, I know Spider-Man, I know you're from New York. So they're publishing a lot of them. It does give me hope that maybe down the line there's going to be a new Marvel versus DC series, because I think the landscape of both companies is so different now. You wouldn't have Hulk versus Superman, you'd have Captain Marvel versus Superman.
Right. That's a great way to put it. Dude, the more I've always loved crossovers like that, and I know you have too. And we're not even really like DC fans. I respect the characters, I respect the company. I have the same thing as you. I can only spend so much money a week, right? And I choose to kind of go to Marvel. I don't know. That's where I just gravitate to. It's of no disrespect to DC. It's just what I do. If I'm rich and famous one day and I have plenty of time, then I'll do both, maybe. But
the way I would look at it, because sometimes, you know, you get like, oh, you Marvel noob, you know, it's like, no. Mm-hmm. It's the case of, this is my team, I will buy their jersey. I'm not going to buy another team's jersey. I will occasionally watch their games and keep up on how they're playing, but I will not buy their jersey.
Yeah, so I think that's a good model of comparison.
Anybody who goes, you know, you're anti-DC, get out of here. On your bike, out of here. It's not the case.
I mean, I've been reading Batman since 2011, New 52, and I've enjoyed it. It's one of my favorite. I really look forward to the issues when they come out, but I'm 99.9% Marvel. That's just how I go. But again, going back to the amalgam DC stuff, I think that's going to be really fun. People have been asking for mm-hmm. this. So, you know, if it's successful and, you know, the Omni does super well, and who knows,
they're $150 a pop, though.
Yeah, I know.
Like, that's pricey. You could collect all of those individually for a hell of a lot cheaper.
Yeah, well, not in this market.
Not in this speculation market.
It's
where, like,
tough.
That Secret Wars 5 blow-up thing is ridiculous thing ever.
Yeah, people
You're
are
just
their
doing
mind
it about because it. There's a cover in a trailer. It's not about a first... Like, this is what... And absolutely, this is what sours me on the MCU Sony thing, is that there's these collectors, these investors. But, like, no, what you're doing is you're killing the joy of finding something at completing a run in the $1.50 box. Or the, now it's like, oh my God, I have to get this before it spikes.
Yes. You know? Yeah. 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 I mean, that's honestly some of the reason I bought Black Panther number one, the Ultimate Black Panther just came out. It was a really good issue. But like half the reason I got it was I was like, shit, this is like now or never. Like, should I cough up the $5.99?
Exactly. Yeah. You don't want to spend $25, you know, in a year or two. But the thing is, too, if you write it out, it's going to like, remember, what was it? Superior Iron Man.
Yeah.
Remember that went to $50 and it turned out to be like a black Captain Marvel. It wasn't even Iron Man.
Right. For Multiverse of Madness. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I totally get you on that. So, no, I mean, that's huge. Let's see where that goes. Yep, I'm excited for the omnibus. Will I be buying it? No, but I'm just happy it's happening. Kind of one of those things.
100%, I don't know how 100%.
So diving into more comic news, what we are truly hype about was the past, man, literally 7 days has just been hype. True hype for Bloodhunt, Marvel's next event starting this spring, which is going to be an invasion of vampires on the Marvel Universe, something that has been honestly like leading up to for a long time, years. So
it's been building like because Dracula had a big presence in the start of Jason Aaron's Avengers run. The vampires were at the start of Wolverine, the Ben versus Wolverine run in Moon Knight. There's a vampire crime boss in Gang War.
Yep.
There was even a thing, I think, in the last series of West Coast Avengers. I think the last two issues in that series, they were fighting Avengers.
Moon Knight. Yeah, Moon Knight has had a lot of vampires. I mean, that's how issue one literally started. It was just vampires.
Miles Morales had a four-issue vampire arc.
He did. Yes, he did. So,
it's fun to see that, though. To see vampires coming out of the shadows. Now, I mean, and I'm sorry to cut across here. On the surface, it does seem to be falling into that old formulaic of invading forces. Because
Absolute carnage. Because I have to add on.
Symbiotes invading New York. Then we had Empire. We had plant people invading Earth. Then we had King in Black. We had more symbiotes invading Earth. It backed away, and now we have vampires invading again.
I'm going to chime in. I love this point you bring up. God, sometimes I swear to God, we just have the same wavelength on this shit. So look, I completely agree. I for some reason, I'm more invested in a character-driven story, and I'm not saying these aren't character-driven, but I just mean like pure, no huge army of forces, like Devil's Reign. That should just click and be like, that was just character spotlight galore. No huge invading forces.
Devil's Reign at its heart was a Kingpin Daredevil story. That's what it was.
Yes. And everyone else had to get involved because it got too big and out of control. And that was the fun of it, dude. Yeah. That was the fun of it. So like look. We've had a little bit of a dry spell for invading forces. I mean, and even War of the Realms, we had basically
War of the Realms. You know? That was another one. I mean, when you've had events going for as long as they have, you can't really, we'll see. I mean, diving deeper into the tie-ins, you look at even, I think it's the cover to the Amazing Spider-Man one, the Fantastic Four one, you see they look like they're in SS uniforms. It looks like it's a military outfit.
Interesting.
The vampires. If you look at it that way.
I didn't see that. That's a good observation, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I know you said that it's not going to be Dracula. My theory is that it's going to tie into Doctor Strange's ghost vampire brother. Are we going to see the original vampire come back? What was his name?
Begins with a V.
Veneer or something. Veneer. Basically looks like a troll with pointy ears.
He's the one who created Dracula. Yeah.
Yeah. And he never got the push. Like he was a sub-tier character. Dracula got the big push.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm excited that it's because, like we said before, Fall of X is so huge and it falls into what I think I was discussing with you before. It's what's called a banner event, where right. there's no core miniseries. It just happens to be a status quo for everybody. Yes. Whereas Blood Hunt is like, okay, this is built around this 6-issue mini or whatever it is at the time, mm-hmm. and you don't have to get these other ones. So I'm excited to get back to that format. I mean, are the tie-ins, is there a lot of tie-ins? Absolutely.
Oh, but yep, I mean, this is going to be a Marvel event. Let's pause really quick, though. Why don't we break down the tie-ins just really quick, kind of go over them like high level here. So
yep.
just starting from release date, from longest to what just recently came out, we have Blood Hunt tie-ins for Union Jack the Ripper 1-3.
Love that title.
Love that title, dude. That's my one of my most anticipated. I love Union Jack. I remember when I was in middle school, my mom used to make our Halloween costumes for my brother and I was Union Jack. And it was like the coolest costume. I'll send you a picture of it later. Maybe I'll post it on Geekable. It's been posted before.
Do you know where I'm from? And you're going to send me a picture of you in a Union Jack uniform. It's a fantastic childhood memory.
All right. I don't want to. Moving on. You know what? Actually, moving on to Blood Hunters 1-4, which is an anthology series. That looks sick. That's Hawkeye, Man-Wolf, and Dagger. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, cool. Now, let me just pop in for a second here. I think a thing that hurts a lot of collectors is all these sprawling tie-ins. And I'm a huge fan of Marvel Comics Presents. What I think they should do is keep the Marvel Comics Presents series going, but just have it for events. And you have Marvel Comics Presents Blood Hunt, and you throw in Jack the Ripper's Union Jack story, you throw in the Blood Hunters, you throw in Strange Academy. That way people are like, you know what, like, let's say you charge $8 an issue for that, maybe even 10, okay, but we get for $30 you get like, you know, 9 different stories or whatever. Keep going at Strange Academy.
No, I follow you. That's a great point. I think that's a great point. And that's cool. I love that title too. But yes, then we have, what do we have? Dracula Blood Hunt, which is Blade's daughter, is going to be teaming up with Dracula.
Bloodline, yep.
Yeah, Bloodline, thank you. Which is further evidence, you know, that leading us to believe that Dracula won't be the main antagonist, which is good. I think that's a good thing. So then we have, this is another one, dude, Midnight Suns Blood Hunt 1-3.
Now, that one, first of all, I'm delighted that it's spelled Midnight Sun.
Me too.
As in a son of someone, as opposed to Midnight Sun, where they were trying to tie into that goddamn video game. And it is very interesting that the Ghost Rider seems to have the Danny Ketch design, but there's also two guys in the foreground, which could be Danny Ketch and Johnny Blaze. And maybe it's the case that the cover was done before, you know, the hood thing.
Yeah,
was done, so we'll see. But that's Midnight Suns, definitely an underrated comic book imprint for sure.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, when was the last time we really saw them? It would have been in Damnation.
Yeah, it was Damnation. And Damnation literally ended. The last issue was like Doctor Strange and a few other people.
Scarlet Spider, Mr. Moon Knight.
Not Damian Hellstrom. Who is it? I forget the guy who's with Blade a lot. He's like a detective. I don't know.
Oh, Hannibal King.
Thank you. Damn. Good. Yep. Good snipe. They were all like, we should team up and, you know, save him from hell. And then it just said like the end ? And nothing ever came of it. Cause I was like, oh man.
But that was, to save Ghost Rider. And then he just kind of was like, no, I'm good. You know what, guys? I'm having a blast. You know, I have dental. I have like a pension. I'm good. You know, like, you don't got to save me. All right, man. Cool.
Pretty much never went anywhere. Now, the last two tie-ins I think are really interesting. And I saved it. And, you know, we have Helverine 1-4 written by Benjamin Percy, which I'm very excited about.
Is that tying into Blood Hunt?
That's tying into Blood Hunt. Yeah.
100%.
I'm pretty sure. Am I wrong on that? I don't think
it's a tie into Blood Hunt. I think it's
so you're saying it's just
different.
Its own thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Shit, really? I thought it was a Blood Hunt tie-in.
People love mashups. The Red Goblin. People went insane. Cosmic Ghost Rider, Weapon H. You know, like all these guys. And Helverine. I mean, I do love it, and I am going to get it. I just think I want it to maybe be the spirit who, let's say, for example, after Fall of X, there's one of those Sentinels that use an adamantium skeleton, and the spirit gets trapped in that. because you can only do so much if it's Wolverine.
Yeah. Or yeah. We'll see.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, we're gonna find out. I'm absolutely.
We're gonna find out. I think it's one of those things where editorial was like, "Hey, Benjamin Percy, this really like sold a lot of books. Just go write something. Here's four issues, and just like do your thing." So we'll see if Percy can kind of handle that, because Benjamin Percy's a writer who will only write when he like believes in something, and he comes to them with like, "Hey, this is my idea. I want to put this pen to paper." And Marvel greenlights
it. I loved his Ghost Rider. I joined his Wolverine too late, and I am going to collect that whole volume in time.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yes. Well then, it sounds like that might not be related to Blood Hunt, but what is related to Blood Hunt and kind of eases some confusion is Wolverine Blood Hunt 1-4. And this is really exciting because going back to that Wolverine series written by Benjamin Percy, this is going to flesh out the Krakoa vampire plot thread that Benjamin Percy created and just didn't do anything with, which was a shame. So yeah. This is going to be satisfying for me as a reader, having read Wolverine for the past 3 years and nothing happened
now,
with that.
For the people who don't really know what would have happened there, is basically the vampires are like, "Hey, we can use Wolverine's blood as special sunblock." And they caught him, they took some, they let him go, he got away, they got him again. And nothing. We didn't really hear any more about it then.
Yeah, no, it's a good way to put it. That is a good way to put it.
But if any kind of hero or sect of, sorry, not hero, if any kind of sect of villains or villain themselves disappear, it's vampires.
Yes. Yes.
Like if they just kind of disappear, if this was the world we occupied, I would have been like, lads, we haven't heard anything from vampires in a while. Really think we should maybe do some investigating. Because, like, when you don't hear a Hydra, you're like, oh, they're up to something.
Uh-huh.
You know, whereas, like, if they're always there. But I think now maybe I'm, as a fan, making that excuse that that's why they're gone, why it never went anywhere. Because the vampires are like, cool, we got what we need. Let's disappear for a while.
Yes. So I have so many theories. I could really dive into how I think this is going to shake out. Because for casual readers that might not know everything, in Russia, in Chernobyl, the vampires have a UN-recognized country that is in Chernobyl, and that's where the vampires go, and that's like a sovereign nation that's recognized, again, by the UN. They got this because they sent Blade in there. That was the one thing the UN said and the Avengers said. You can have this place that you can call your home and your country, but we're sending in Blade to basically be the sheriff, and if you guys mess around, like, you're going to get cut.
They got this, though, because they helped against Null, wasn't it? Helped battle Null. So
that's what it was.
That was the contingency that, like, Blade's going to be your sheriff. He's going to be kind of the go-between. And other than the vampires who are kind of fucking around with Moon Knight, generally kind of seemed to
back off. They have. And I'm just really... I don't know. I think if that would be awesome if that original vampire before Dracula came back and like mind controlled or like basically just like controlled all of them or rallied them and then was like, this Dracula's been wrong. Well, let's go.
It would make sense as in like, look what you've become. Like you're working with the humans. You beg them to give your own country. Take their country. Yeah. Take what was ours, like their cattle. You know, this is not the first big vampire event. We did have Curse of the Mutants years ago where, they were like, Sun Gem. It was an X-Men centric type, but Blade was a big part of that too.
Yeah, he was. And we hadn't seen Blade that came out. But we will see. Other than that, we got a range of titles tying into Blood Hunt, which the covers look awesome for today. As this is recorded,
there's the Spider-Man Amazing Spider-Man miniseries, and the main series is tying in, but the main series ties in at 49. So there's no way that's any more than a one issue tie in with 49.
Yeah, probably. Oh, true. Yeah.
You know,
true. Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah,
I'm kind of. I would like to see. Like, this is sorry, the ongoings, we got Fantastic Four. That was surprising, but I am excited. Moonlight, Avengers, and Doctor Strange. No surprise, because Jed's writing all of them. And Venom was surprising. and I'm delighted.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm delighted.
Yep. Because as much as I do love the fact that Venom is nearly a 250 issues of his ongoing legacy terms, I think it's gotten too big. The character has gotten too big and too complex, and they
too
need
complex,
to kind of,
I agree with.
You know, you're just like, okay, now the Kling Tower involved. But I mean, look, we'll see where it goes. I trust in Al Ewing, but it was interesting to see that Lee Price is the
dude, right?
He's on the cover, you know?
It was so interesting to see that. Yeah, we'll see where that goes. And it says that there's a surprise villain that we're not expecting to be leading the vampires to get the symbiote. That's got you written all over it, dude. As soon as I read that, I was like, oh, Rob, this is the comic
when those shotguns come up. Yeah.
Yep. So that'll be really fun. That'll be really fun. Blood Hunt. Let's see.
Now, and we just one more thing before we move on from Blood Hunt.
Oh, sure.
There are one shots that are coming out, and I really hope we get a Dark Event, the Dark X-Men one shot, because
yeah, dude,
I
that.
Would love the force, the like the demons of Limbo fighting vampires.
Oh, bro, hold on, wait. You just stirred up a really good memory I have in the Wolverine run. Mm-hmm. This is what made me mad, and I love that idea. I love that idea. I agree with it. Jumping into what I was about to say, though, Wolverine, the whole Benjamin Percy ended the whole like vampire things with Wolverine going to who is it? Death's Anubis. He went to Death's. You know how they have the realm and Otherworld? Death, the looking dog. Yeah, because Sevelith. That's right. The mutants went to Sevelith. And because they're vampires mm-hmm. of Otherworld. And they were like, look, these vampires are just ruining Krakoa. We kind of have a relationship with you since, you know, Ten of Swords. Can you help a brother out? And that's where it left off. And they were talking to Anubis, and Anubis was like kind of fired up. Like, yeah, like, fuck that. Well,
there
Let's
you go.
Get
that could be like that.
Dude,
they don't leave little things like that. And this, because even I'm working on, like I said, with the what I've told you before, the YouTube channel, I'm working like on a Marvel event timeline. And I just finished up the body of Contest of Champions. And I think a big thing to look for is the fallout. And especially with one that's as old as that from 1983, the story does continue on in two Avengers annuals, with West Coast and Avengers 16, with no kind of like, you know, the end question mark. So it's awesome to see even now that's like, oh yeah, you might think this is over, but this, because at the end of the day, all of this stuff is plotted out,
right it is, you know. So we'll see what happens, but I'm on your wavelength with all of that, so I'm excited. We will cover Blood Hunt more. I'm sure there will be more news coming out the following week, so stay tuned, everyone. We're really excited about it, as you can tell. Dipping into more or less, you know, for the next half of the episode, we have MCU news. Okay. So, woo-hoo. Rob, why don't we start with, I mean, two big things happened. Let's start with X-Men 97. All right. Let's start with that.
Goosebumps.
Yep.
Goosebumps watching that. I was like, yes, this is going to be so good.
Didn't it feel modern, dude? Didn't you like watching it? It felt good. Like it felt good.
But you know what? Now let's start with the negative thing. Go to the positive.
Go ahead, hit me.
I saw some comments of people going, "Oh, you know, another woke version of a night." It's like,
yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
but it's not, because the cast is the exact same.
I know, right, dude? People
what are
complain
you talking
about anything.
About?
Look,
like, did you call the public service announcements at the end of G.I. Joe and He-Man back in the day woke? No, they're just like saying, hey, you know, there's more than white people in the world and there's more than Americans. So here they are.
I don't get
Storm,
it either, dude. And also, like,
it's just,
save your complaints, too, if you're going to go there. Yeah. Save your complaints. Like, this is nothing to complain about. Now, you lose credibility when you complain too much. I keep telling people, I'm like, save your complaints. Right. It's like human being a human 101. Like, if you complain too much, people aren't going to take you seriously. And then when I saw people complaining about this, I'm like, really? This was the cast. Literally,
I had no complaints with that trailer. Like, just even the way you had the theme, like kind of remixed building in the end. You're just like, oh, what's going to happen? Magneto with long hair. The guy looks amazing.
He looks awesome.
Flick back.
He looks cool.
Yeah, he looks really cool. So honestly, the voices sounded great. The theme was awesome. Mm-hmm. You saw like some cool action sequences, but it was good. And March 30th, it comes out, friggin' basically a month. So
around the corner.
Really excited. Corner. Something I did notice that a lot of people did was that you can see Spider-Man in the trailer in a newspaper. So
the Daily Bugle one. Yeah.
Yes, the Daily Bugle, and Spider-Man's there, and it mentioned something about Spider-Man. Do you think this will lead to crossover appearances like what we had in the 1990s, dude? Like, well,
I see, as back then we didn't understand the significance of that. That when, you know, there was that what the hell was his name? Luther Manning, I think was his name. I could be wrong. That they had the crossover with the X-Men, and he ended up this big monster yoke, and he was like a two-faced guy, and Beast showed up, and Wolverine, and we had the Spider-Verse and everything. We didn't get the significance of that. I mean, I wanted to be that Christopher Daniels guy, the guy from the 90s who voiced Spider-Man. That's what I want. But I mean, if this is a success, maybe we could get an amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah, anything's possible. Series, that's already been announced. So Spider-Man is going to get like a Disney Plus, and Daredevil's in it, Kingpin's in it. So what? That's announced. So that's coming.
When did they announce that?
Oh, a while ago, dude. A while ago.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was awesome. A major announcement. That's why I'm like, will this be a shared? Not even will it. This will be. So this is something to celebrate that I think. This will be, you know, could we see Daredevil? Could we see, you know, maybe later down the line? Not now, but later. Let's see.
That is exciting, but also I think leave it be its own thing.
You're right.
We have the MCU where everything is shared, but like this is about, I came home after school, I watched the X-Men. Give me that feel. I'm not going to be like, oh, which Spider-Man character is going to show up here? They don't need to make this about the X-Men animated series. That's what they should do.
Okay.
But I'm not going to complain. Even if they do cross it over, it's going to be cool. I'm just saying.
Okay, good. I was going to say, I disagree with you on that extent. I would love to have like a put Spider-Man in, maybe do like, I don't know, something. But like, it doesn't have to be in the first season. Just hint at that they're together. Just let me know they're together.
Yeah,
I'd be happy with that. But if they do more than that, so be it. I'd be happy with that.
It's when you were saying that, it kind of reminds me that issue of Uncanny X-Men when Ben Reilly was Spider-Man. And he went to the X-Men to warn him. And that was the first time the X-Men had kind of been like, hey, we know Spider-Man. You don't seem to be Spider-Man. Like, oh, well, I'm Spider-Man. They're like, all right, okay. And it was just like, bye. A couple. But yeah, in that regard. Now, because I think, let's see, right. We have what I'd like to call a positivity burger. Okay, so we start with the bottom, which is positive. We have the burger, which is negative, and then we top it with another positive thing. So we're going to get our negative burger here. Madam Web.
Dude. All right. So I haven't seen it yet. You haven't either. So let's remember. So I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it the next time we have an episode. I'll have seen the movie. Judging by everything, 14% on Rotten Tomatoes, and right now 54% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. So that's abysmal. That is like a horrible. I'm preparing for self-harm in the movie theater.
Wow. At least you're not going to overreact. That's
We'll see. We'll see.
In the movie theater.
We'll see.
Just get up and leave. We'll see.
I won't. I'll sit through it. I don't want to watch it, but
I will say this with Rotten Tomatoes, right? It's a case of, it's stylish now to hate superhero movies. That's the big thing. It's like, oh, they're so bad. No, let's bring them down. Because I am someone who loves trash. Someone would say, oh, this Rotten Tomatoes has 12%. I'd be like, I loved every second of that movie. So, I mean, we're just, for one, my, what's the word? Negativity towards this movie. It's not that, it was the same with Venom. Like, I didn't want to see Venom because of the trailer. And when I saw Venom, I thought, oh, this is fun when Venom is in it, but I'm really glad I didn't pay to see it in the movie theater. And just with Madame Web and Kraven and Morbius, these characters do not have the backstory, and like I said before, the rogues gallery to warrant a movie. Ezekiel is not a villain of Spider-Woman. The Spider-Woman villains. I think they're called the Web of Death. They appeared in Avengers West Coast, or there's the Shroud, or when she was in Force Works. And Madam Web didn't really have a rogues gallery. She had her evil granddaughter. And you're just, okay, let's get Maddie Franklin. Let's get Spider-Girl or Arachne. And then Spider-Woman, and we're going to bring them all in together. And right. But why? You see, this is the thing. You're not letting it stand. You're just trying to shoehorn characters in. And so, I know you sent me that video of the guy who is a theory that Sony actors are being tricked into joining movies to think they're part of the MCU. Now, let's look at Hollywood as a whole, okay? When someone says Marvel, cool. But they don't do their research. And also, I'm from what little I know of the voiceover contracts and stuff I've gotten, it's very, very meticulous. And they will tell you exactly what you can do, what you're involved in, what you can't do. And if this, and you know, he obviously is an internet journalist and he's done his research. Oh, Bad Bunny joined this. Do you know why Bad Bunny joined that? Because he probably got a ridiculous amount of money thrown his way. Hey, here's $20 million to play this superpowered luchador. I'm in. I'm a part of the Marvel family. And he's not wrong. He is, because Sony was making Marvel movies before Disney was making Marvel movies.
Right. So I agree with everything you said. It's just a theory. You're probably right. They probably do have their team. But, dude, I mean, looking at who is the main star of Madam Web, I don't remember her name. Dakota she fired her agency after signing on with this, and after beginning production for this, she fired him and got a new one. Then you have people like that African American guy who was in Morbius. He thought he was in the MCU. He literally said, yeah, it's great to be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like under Kevin Feige. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? You're not.
But is that not someone's ignorance to what they're doing?
It's ignorance. But like, dude, it's that all of these people are pretty ignorant before they, like, they're not fans. Like, they don't know it. You know what I mean? So Sony's not lying when they say, you're going to join the Marvel Universe with all of these rich characters and like, what do you mean?
I mean, if you want to break it down, like, let's say, right, I'm Sony and you're arguing with me that, what are you on about rich characters? You are a part of the Spider-Man family, which has arguably some of the most popular and endearing and enduring Marvel characters there are. So take that argument, sir, and shove it up the highest point of your arse.
100%.
Because you're in the Spider-Man cinema.
Disney, that's what I was saying. Sony's in a great position because they can lie without lying, dude. They can lie without lying.
Sony are laughing. Look, we can bring these out, and then Tom Holland's going to appear in a Disney movie, and we just make our money back. So, right. Yeah, pissing.
I don't get it. But like, there's just so much. There's so much good evidence that suggests, it doesn't prove anything. It just suggests that, you know, they're signing on these actors and they really don't know up from down, and they're just taking advantage of them. That's basically it.
Let's agree to disagree.
I think my problem, though, but let's spend one more minute on this, because I don't understand your disagreement. I'm trying to, like, as what in, are you like, disagreeing?
I don't think Sony are lying to these people. I think it's that their agent is like, hey, so they, you know, there's a Marvel movie coming out. Awesome. Yes, get me that. Because what people forget is Marvel is the MCU, but they forget that Marvel is actually Sony as well.
Right.
And it's just a case of like, they hear Marvel, they hear money, get me in that movie. Okay, so yeah, you're in Madam Web. Madam Web, but you said Marvel. Yeah, it is Marvel. Well, that's not the Marvel I wanted. You just told me to get you the part. Yeah, but I didn't know it wasn't in the MCU. And it's that,
so,
like,
so there's no disagreement here, because that's exactly what I'm saying. There's no disagreement.
Okay, I was completely misunderstanding. I thought
hold on, I'll tell you. So I think they might be trying to chime it as in a certain way of like, yes, like this is, you know, you're in the Marvel Universe proper. Like, I think they're saying that without saying it. I don't know. But regardless, I'm going to see this movie. It's probably going to suck. Sony just needs to give it up. Please, please just stop. Amy Pascal, please stop. So let's go to the meat and potatoes of what we want to talk about next before this episode's over, which is Fantastic Four news.
Fantastic Four. I hope that's the theme song. I loved that from the 90s. Fantastic Four. So good.
Yeah, that's right. I know the one you're talking
completely
about.
Completely derail. Every Marvel theme song for their cartoons in the 90s was class. Remember Iron Man's? Iron Man. And then what was Hulk? Hulk. The Incredible Hulk. It was just amazing. You know, you didn't need this huge orchestra. Oh, it was so good.
Did you like the 90s Spider-Man theme?
Did I?
Good answer.
Like,
oh, it's so
just, like,
good, dude.
It's so 90s, like, spider blood. Where do you mark the spider blood? Like, wait, what?
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. It was so epic. Awesome. But
it was so good.
Got
the real. Yes, Fantastic Four. Great cast. Looks like it's set in the 1960s. Will there be time travel shenanigans? Probably. But I mean, probably. At the end of the day, I'm not excited about these anymore because there's been so many. I'll be like, cool, I'll see it when I see it. But okay, I suppose we're at different points in our life, you know, like,
yeah,
I have a 2-year-old, I can't just go to the theater to see something, and then if I do, I'm pissed off because I've paid a babysitter, I paid the cab fare, I paid for the food, and like, this is shit. But I could have waited 2 months and sit there at my own popcorn and be like, this is shit.
Fair enough. You know, fair enough. So I'm excited. I the cast seems great. You know, we have Joseph Quinn, who is in Stranger Things. He was pretty good in that. He was okay. Then we have Eben Moss Bachrach. I always forget Bachrach. I forget how to pronounce his name, but it doesn't matter. He's in The Bear right now, which is currently out on Hulu, which is excellent.
It's on the list. I still have. I really want to watch it though.
Yeah. It's really good. And then we have Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm. So she was in the new Mission Impossible, which was really good. That was actually good movie.
I can't watch Tom Cruise movies because it's just him running in different scenarios.
Okay, fair enough. And then she was in Fast and Furious. I didn't see that, but I know that I've seen like TikToks of like her in that movie. So she looks like Sue Storm. I'm down for it. She looks really cool. And then, of course, we have Mr. Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic. And Ebon Moss is going to play Ben Grimm as well, which looks to be full CGI, which we expected. And I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
All I would say is when it comes to practical versus CG, look at the original Predator from 1987. Okay. It looks like they did some intergalactic casting. You look at the Predator from a few years ago where they have like this genetically engineered Predator who's all CG and looks terrible.
Yes.
So take the time, make it, you know, respect the classics. Practical effects worked for so long.
Yeah.
Even do a balance of the two, you know?
Yes.
And I do hope, I want to see a bit of, I want the eyebrows. That's what I want back. I want the things big.
Alex Ross
eyebrows.
Does those so well.
So
he draws
well.
The best eyebrows on Ben Grimm. Talking about Ben Grimm though, really quick while we're there, and he does have eyebrows in the promo picture that we've all seen. But something really interesting too is that this Ben Grimm is reading a Life magazine from December 1963.
That's why I was saying that it seems to be set in the the 60s.
So it's going to be set in the 60s. As far as, I mean, we could say anything at this point. Have they, you know, were they sent up in the 60s and maybe time works differently in the quantum realm or the negative zone and they're just coming back now and they're like, whoa, it's a totally different world now. Holy shit, what happened? Like, who knows? Maybe and it's a different universe entirely. The movie takes place in the 60s. They somehow end up here. Who knows? But one thing I do know is that the promo looked really good. It looked very family friendly. I loved the 60s vibe. They're probably going to nail that with the movie. That's my anticipation. They're going to nail that 60s vibe. Everybody's going to love it. And they're just going to bring them in. They're just going to bring them in and they're going to be huge, huge players. Go.
I'm going to say something that might shock you. I don't want Dr. Doom to show up till either like the third Fantastic Four movie or something else. I don't want him to.
Okay, third's a little much for me.
Think about it. When did we first see Thanos? Fourth or fifth MCU movie. And when you saw that purple chiseled chin, you were like, who's this guy? this guy, okay, they just left him.
Yeah.
Then when he showed up again, you're like, holy shit, this is serious.
So
Doom is, and like he became a Marvel-wide villain the right way. He was there from the start and they built him up gradually. And now when Doom shows up in any series, it's a big deal.
So
don't rush to him. Give us, like you said, the negative zone. Yeah. Give us Annihilus. Give us Blastar. Maybe introduce us to Doom, but don't spend too much time on him.
You're not going to get your wish because Doom, you're not going to get your wish. Let's shut that down right now because they're going to franchise the fuck out of Doom because they're already filming his series. Howard Stern said it on his show that he's involved with Doom, the Doom series, and he looked
Howard
at the schedule.
Howard Stern is involved with Doom?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Everyone is saying that maybe it'll be like Brubaker's, 1-12 series where like a journalist goes to Latveria, talks to Doom about his life. That could be fucking Howard Stern. Howard Stern said this on air on his show and then kind of went back on it. But by then it was already too late. So he was like, I looked at the scheduling for filming for Doom, Dr. Doom, and it was brutal. Like, it was unbelievable. Like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And this was like a year and a half ago, and we haven't heard peep from the show since. So we think it's a Disney Plus show. We'll see. So
has anybody from Disney come out and confirm this?
No. Of course. Why would they?
I'm just saying, I love that you brought that to my attention. I'm going to take it. I'm going to put it in the trash for now.
Okay, so put it in the back of the refrigerator.
No, I'm throwing it in the trash, and I will root it out.
Okay.
When someone from Disney is like, Rob, you need to apologize to Nick. I will dive into that dumpster, and I'll put it back out. I'll be like, huh, he was right. But till now, that is just toilet paper for me.
That, you think that little of it? For me, that's like it's not Bond, but it's like, okay,
because you're young and you haven't been twisted by the reality of shenanigans and misleading of the media. You have that hope in you yet, Nick. But me, I'm a cranky old Irishman. I believe nothing until it's said like by Kevin Feige or an official Disney press release.
Yeah, we'll see.
Howard Stern saying it of all people.
I know. We'll see. I think he's going to get a Disney Plus series. It's definitely not going to be by the third movie. He's probably going to be involved to some extent with multiverse stuff. We'll see. One other thing on the whole casting news official promo is when John Watts was directing this movie, and it was like Disney was like, "Yep, John Watts directing the Fantastic Four." The logo was so different. It seems like Disney took like a freaking 180 with the new logo. It just looks so 1960s. I mean, what are your any thoughts on that? I mean, obviously it's a new creative direction, a new everything.
If that's the case,
it was John Watts, but
And
for those listening, John Watts directed Spider-Man Homecoming, No Way Home, and Far From Home. I would love to see him direct these. Those movies were home runs, but it's not going to happen. So
they were Spider-Man movies. So the way you make a Spider-Man movie might not necessarily work for a Fantastic Four movie.
The Russos did the same thing. They were Captain America 2 and 3 and then did Infinity War and Endgame.
But Captain America 3 was an Avengers movie without being Avengers. It had the whole huge cast.
They still did Captain America 2, though, which was a political thrill. I'm saying is that,
absolutely.
Like, if you have a good director, I don't – the movie has heart.
I get what you're saying. I mean, I would just say if that's the case, that Disney have taken a step back and are like, okay – something isn't working. So let's take a step back for a second. What haven't we done? Yes. What's going to work? I personally think they need to slow down their production rate of things. Two movies a year is golden. Two movies a year, one series. This thing of something every month, forget about it.
Yeah,
not going to work. People don't want to. They want something different. But you know what I want to just even what I think would be amazing, because I think as a villain, it would really work in a 1960s vibe, would be the American Kaiju. If Fantastic Four are fighting the American, or show us the Mole Man.
I just read Thunderbolts number 3, and that was excellent.
I love American Kaiju.
That was a great issue. The second one wasn't that good. The third issue was great, of Thunderbolts.
See,
that just
the
came
thing,
out.
my issue, pun intended, with this Thunderbolt series is that they're all being written like smartasses. And it's kind of like, stop with the quips. You know, you're supposed to be like,
oh, I see.
You know, Bucky's own hit squad. What's with the constant jokes? But I've told you, this is my kind of, I find a problem with moving the MCU over into the comics, is that everything is so lighthearted and funny in the MCU. Now it has to be this case. And the Thunderbolts have pretty much lost who they are as a team now. You can, now don't get me wrong, you can never get back who the Thunderbolts were initially, because that was the amazing reveal of them. And then the second team was like, you know, but I think we've touched on that before, but anyway, but, and Spider-Fur 91, that was for you, buddy. You wanted to hear about, you know, Godzilla. Well, there's Marvel's version. Well, Marvel's second version of Godzilla in American Kaiju. And Dinosaurs, that two-arc Fantastic Four dinosaur world. That was fun.
Oh, yeah. That was fun. I don't know. It was fine. It was good.
Spider-Rex.
Yeah.
Full of spiders.
Yeah. That was interesting. I forgot about that. That was good.
I love that. That was interesting. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I didn't like love it. People were like going crazy over it. I was like, this is
because
okay.
Because people thought this is the next big thing in the Spider-Verse movies. You know, that's
speaking
why.
Speaking of Spider-Verse, we'll probably get news soon of the new Spider event coming out. The Spider-Verse event coming out that's being...
Oh, where we finally get to see Weapon 9, I think it is.
That's right.
Weapon 8.
Yeah.
To this day, nobody has ever mentioned who Weapon 9 is from the Weapon Plus program. They've hinted that it was Deadpool, but it has never been confirmed.
Right.
Who Weapon 9 is.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. Slaughter, Manslaughter. Isn't that Weapon 9?
The Man Thing one? Would have been retcon. I don't think he'd be Weapon.
No, because he was in X-Force
17.
Oh, he's like up there. Okay.
I think so, because it was Weapon 6.
Manslaughter
was Cage.
Cool. I loved that.
I loved Manslaughter. Manslaughter. Cool. I want to see him back. Hashtag
me too.
Back Manslaughter.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Look, let's any other thoughts before we wrap up? Because this was a doozy of an episode. I loved it. This is everything I could hope for. Good comic news and good MCU news. I'm fat and happy right now, and I just can't wait for Deadpool 3. You know, we saw that official trailer drop on Valentine's Day. That official poster trailer already came out. There's just a lot going on right now, and it feels good. But I still feel like I've been burned in the past, and I can't get too excited because Marvel just kind of messed up so many times. But all this looks good. All this looks good to me. It all kind of checks out. I'm happy right now. I'm happy.
Yeah, to quote Larry David, I think, you know, this week of news has been pretty good. You know, I'm also fat and happy. Not actually literally. I think this was a fun, a lot of stuff to talk, excited about Blood Hunt.
Yeah.
Will not go see Madam Web. But you know what? If you do see Madam Web and you like it, you stand by it. Do not 100%. Let anybody try and convince you why it was bad. No. Movies are art. Art is opinion. Yes. And if you like it and someone tries to convince you you're wrong, two simple words. Fuck off.
And I will go in with an open mind, and I will keep that in check. And yeah, come back next week for my thoughts on Madam Web, everybody. So with that being said, thank you so much for listening. If you are an old-time fan of Geekable Podcast, thank you for coming back for another episode. And for any new listeners, hope you'll join us for the ride going forward. We're a weekly podcast where we talk about trending news and all that fun stuff. So come back for more next time. Please follow us on Instagram at Geekable_podcast. We're also on TikTok. And shoot Rob a subscriber on YouTube to his channel of Rambling Rob. So everybody, thank you so much. We will see you next time, Rob. Thank you for being on.
Take it easy, Nick.